Schools across the country are on break this week, meaning that millions of students don't have to think even about algebra. Or are they just missing the algebra that's all around them? Joined now by our math guy, Keith Devlin of Stanford University, who joins us this week from member station KGNU in Boulder, Colorado. Keith, thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, Scott. Nice to be here.
Well, nice to join us electronically. I bet you're pretty happy you're in Boulder for the holidays, though, aren't you?
That's right. I came out here for a white Christmas, and right now it looks as though we're getting one.
Oh, all right. Now, I think a lot of people think of algebra as kind of arithmetic with letters. You say that's wrong.
That's right. Arithmetic with the letters is still arithmetic. Algebra is actually a very different way of thinking. With arithmetic, you actually take some numbers and you calculate a new number. With algebra, you think about numbers. You end up naming an unknown number. You call it X or Y. And then you reason not arithmetically so much as logically. So algebra is really logical thinking about numbers as opposed to arithmetic, which is calculating with numbers. And in fact, it's because people, I think, when kids don't realize it's a different way of thinking, that they find algebra so hard, because they try to solve algebra problems using arithmetic, and it doesn't work.
Well, why was algebra invented? And I recognize it may not have been invented by just one person, but what need in the world was being addressed when algebra was created?
What we think of as algebra, and it goes back into the ancient Babylonians and the Greeks, but it was really in the Muslim Empire in the 9th and 10th centuries where it really developed. In fact, there was one particular individual called Al-Khwarizmi who wrote a textbook in the 9th century which essentially lays out modern algebra. It wasn't symbolic. He wrote it out entirely in words because he was actually telling stories about how to reason with number. He was trying to describe to people how to think logically about numbers in this method called algebra. But that book that he wrote not only established modern algebra, but it also gave it its name. The name algebra is an Arabic term, al-jabra. He also wrote a book on arithmetic, how to do calculations with numbers, and that's why we have this word algorithm. You take Al-Khwarizmi and it becomes algorithm for rules, procedures for doing numerical calculations.
And was this done to assist the trading for which the Mideast was center of the world then?
Yeah, in fact, one of the things that's typical of the work done in mathematics in the 9th, 10th, 11th century in the Arabic-speaking world is they were not interested in theorizing. They were very practical people, and they developed algebra to be more efficient traders, more efficient commercial people, to be better engineers. In fact, Baghdad in the 9th century is the equivalent of Silicon Valley in the 20th century, in the 21st century. That was the center of new technologies for many centuries as a result of developing that algebra.
How do you package this story for students these days?
It's very difficult, actually, because the revolutions, both in arithmetic and then later algebra, were so pervasive and so fundamental that once people got used to it, what had been regarded as this brilliant breakthrough was regarded as dull and routine. We see it today with technologies. Mm-hmm. To me, the iPad, the iPhone, those are incredible breakthroughs. But to anybody under the age of 15 or 16, that's just part of life. It's no big deal for kids when they have these things. And that's a measure of how fundamental a major change is.
Keith, do you think schools sometimes make a mistake in the way they try and convey algebra to students?
Oh, I think they make a terrible mistake. First of all, students typically will ask this question, what is it useful for? And if a child is asking that, then it's been introduced in the wrong way. I think it would be much more effective to begin with a bit of the history. Why did people develop this stuff? Algebra didn't come in, it wasn't just sort of discovered hidden in a box somewhere. People invented it to solve real-life problems. Now, in the 9th century, people literally had to solve those problems themselves with a paper and pencil. Today, we literally don't have to use algebra because we have devices in our pockets, we have spreadsheets on our computers that implement the algebra for us. But we are actually better users of technologies when we have some idea of what goes on underneath the hood.
Keith, I hope you all have a wonderful holiday.
And the same to you, Scott.
Our math guy, Keith Devlin, speaking with us from Boulder, Colorado this week.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. This morning we have an update on a story we first heard this past summer as NPR aired a series about high school dropouts. In that series, we heard from Kenny Buchanan. The 44-year-old dropped out when he was in the 9th grade. We met him not long after he got his GED in Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania. Today, Kenny has a new job and a new outlook on life. Most people in Kenny's hometown, though, are not as lucky. As NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports, well-paying jobs are still scarce and businesses simply won't hire unskilled, poorly educated people.
Kenny Buchanan dropped out of school at age 18 and for the next 26 years jumped from job to job and unemployment. Today, he says life is good.
I got a job.
A full-time job.
Yep, I got hired on July. Pays good. It's local and close to home.
Kenny was hired at Sapa, a Swedish company that took over the aluminum extrusion plant once owned by Alcoa. You can't beat having steady work, says Kenny. The anxiety and stress have lifted.
And anybody that loses their job or doesn't have a job will tell you, when you don't have the money, you're always worrying about how you're going to afford to pay this and how you're going to afford to pay for that. It gets stressful. It gets real stressful. But now that I got a job, I'm more relaxed.
With Kenny now working full-time, his wife Jill was able to quit her job as a beautician. She's now spending a lot more time caring for their youngest son and worrying a lot less.
The biggest thing for me was having insurance for my family. That was even more important to me than the money because, having some health issues and that, it was hard not having insurance.
Without his GED, Kenny says he'd still be looking for a job. Even the fast food place that hired him back when he dropped out of high school won't hire anyone these days without a GED or a high school diploma.
41 first, can I help you?
I'd like two black coffees, please.
Every morning on his way to work, Kenny stops by that same Burger King to get coffee.
This is the place I started, my very first job.
We drive up to the window. A woman walks in front of Kenny's car and waves.
I know her, yeah.
Kenny says it's no longer embarrassing running into people he grew up with, people who've seen him struggle, jobless. These days, he can afford to eat out maybe once a week, buy a new shirt or a blouse for his wife. Still, Kenny says hard times have taught him to be frugal.
Bills come first. The house gets paid first. The major things. You pay your major things first. Whatever's left over,
you save, says Kenny. As we pull out of the parking lot, it's clear that the story of Schuylkill County is not nearly as upbeat as Kenny's. We drive past empty shopping centers, strip malls, and old abandoned warehouses, all signs of a prolonged, struggling economy. Although, farther down the road, there is a company that makes bird feed that's hiring. So is the small local lumber company. A new Kohl's department store is going to open here soon. People without a high school diploma or a GED, of course, need not apply. But even if you have one, neither will guarantee a living wage, says Sharon Angelo. She runs CareerLink, a job counseling and referral center in Schuylkill County.
The economy has picked up slightly, but what we're noticing, too, is you may have employers that pay one salary in Schuylkill County and just go across the border to another facility of theirs and find out that you could get paid more.
With so many people looking for jobs around here, Angelo says, employers don't have to offer more than the minimum wage. Kenny says that's why so many of his friends have left to find something better.
I'm not saying minimal paying jobs are bad, but if you're going to raise a family or if you want things in life, minimum paying jobs just don't cut it. I mean, they just don't.
It's hard to say when or if wages will improve in this economy, but Sharon Angelo says the one thing that seems to be getting worse is the high school dropout rate. She's seeing a lot more dropouts.
I'm talking people who are 17 through 21 years of age. They don't have enough room to accommodate the number of people who are looking for a GED.
Angelo says for every Kenny Buchanan who's come back for his GED and found a good-paying job, there are dozens of dropouts who are unemployable.
I think it's sad. I do.
Kenny says he's lucky.
You can't guarantee nothing in life. But, yeah, I'm fortunate.
He has a family that supports him, a job, and his GED. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.